Thank you so much, and thank you so much for allowing me to join online this evening. I have been in Birmingham for the last 2 days talking about specifically how we can move to a low energy society in the UK. So I'm still in Birmingham today, so thank you so much for allowing me to join online. And I have to make a disclaimer at the beginning, I have not worked at Arup before, so I'm an academic, so I don't have that engineering background. So first of all, I just wanted to highlight that obviously the reason why we are here and why we are talking about warm homes is that we have to make sure that we make our homes also resilient in the face of climate change. And this is a picture, unfortunately, that I took in January of BBC News when the wildfires in Los Angeles were happening. And I think it's a really, really devastating image of what's actually happening already now. So when we are talking about warm homes, we also have to think about that, you know, we have to make our homes resilient for the future. And I want to also highlight that despite some of the perhaps recent political trends, there is actually a huge amount of support from people in terms of acting on climate. So, for example, the UNDP has found that 80% of people globally want their country to do more on climate change, and 72% want their country to move away from fossil fuels. So these are really very positive statistics, and particularly looking at, you know, people's willingness to contribute on things like their personal income, for example. So I think it's really important that we make a very clear link that low carbon homes are actually needed because climate change is happening. And that link hasn't yet been always made. So I think we have to be mindful of the fact that lots of people want to take action on climate change. And it's really important that we make the link that actually we can do that by addressing our homes as well. And I want to also highlight that when we are talking about homes, it's really important to sort of think about that. Are we just thinking about bricks and mortar? For me as a social scientist, I'm also always thinking about behavior. So behavior inside and outside of the homes. So when we are starting to think about warm homes, for example, or warm homes plans, do we need to consider issues like rebound effect? For example, I'm not going to go into that much detail this evening, but I'm sure many of you have heard that concept before. And I was asked to also touch on just transitions in the context of homes. And I come from a sustainability transitions background in terms of my research portfolio. And I could spend a lot of time talking about, you know, what is a just transition. But I want to give you just a couple of ideas on that. So just transition is something which simultaneously addresses inequalities while we are moving towards low carbon interventions that actually look at prioritizing restoration, reconstruction, and redistributive justice. So there are a real sort of theoretical concepts behind this. And we can think about it as a kind of instrumental way. So thinking about just transitions, for example, in the face of what does it mean when we move away from fossil fuels? What does it mean for labor, for example? What does it mean for jobs and skills? And I'm glad that previous presenters already brought those up, that, you know, this is also about jobs and skills. But it's also about perceptive issues. So justice is very subjective to people. So what does it mean if we want to have a just transition into warm and sustainable and low carbon homes? So I think it's really important to think about that justice can be also quite perceptive in terms of who is thinking about it. And in that context, I think when we are talking about homes and particularly thinking about homes, decarbonizing homes, I think it's really important to think about whose homes are we talking about. And previous speakers have talked about social housing, for example, or homeowners, or, you know, the number of homes that we have in the UK, for example. So who are the people that we are actually expected to take action in this space? Are they homeowners? Are they tenants? Are they landlords? So I think it's really important to recognize that, you know, people have very different starting points in terms of improving their homes or making their homes more warmer or more cooler in a heating planet. So it's very important to think about that people have a different level of awareness. They have a different level of willingness, and they also have a different level of capacity to do that. And here we have found in research by colleagues in our center, for example, that trusted relationships are really, really important. And for example, in the UK, people tend to trust most of the people that they already know. So they actually trust their social networks a lot more than they, for example, trust the government or business or the media. So I think in that sense, it's really important that we create this sort of better confidence in low carbon homes and using particularly the kind of trust that already exists in social relations that people might have. Benefits has been mentioned before, and we've actually spent a lot of time with my team talking about that, you know, are these co-benefits? Are they core benefits? I think anybody outside of academia or like policy sphere just thinks about benefits. So let's just call them benefits. So I think it's really important that we make benefits of low carbon homes very clear. It's about warm homes, cool homes, cleaner air, better well-being, reduced energy bills, even energy security. So there are so many different benefits that lower carbon homes can bring. And I think it's very important that we communicate that really clearly. And in terms of when we talk about the homes themselves, I think it's also really important that we communicate in clear terms. So I would say forget about kilowatt hours, forget about terms like retrofit. If I speak to some of my friends, for example, who are not in academia or not in energy sort of geek space, if I mention to them the terms retrofit, they will just, you know, think like, what do you actually mean by that? So terms like net zero, retrofit, kilowatt hours, what does that actually mean in practice and everyday life for people when they are thinking about their homes? And here it's also really important to think about that we all have very strong emotional links to our homes. And we are also very irrational oftentimes when we are thinking about our homes. You know, the TV is full of decluttering programs, for example. And I have a good example from a previous project where a community organization was helping to retrofit, sorry for using the term retrofit now, but was helping to do insulation, for example, for people. And they said that they actually ended up spending a lot of time just clearing out people's lofts. So there are a lot of sort of emotional aspects that we need to think about when we are starting to refurbish people's homes or improve people's homes. And in the sort of just transitions mindset, we have to also think about fairness and inclusion. We have to think about who is paying for this, who is benefiting from this. The UK has a high rate of fuel poverty, for example. What does it mean for people who might already be in fuel poverty or at risk of fuel poverty? Where do they sit in this, this plan? And I'm really pleased that community has already been mentioned in previous presentations. And as part of our centre, the Energy Demand Research Centre, we are looking at place-based case studies, particularly thinking about whether place-based action can actually help towards better homes, whether it can help in just transitions. So we are, for example, looking at neighborhood-level, community-led home energy projects that are addressing challenges such as this kind of relational support that might be needed in terms of with trust, finding the skills in locally, finding the kind of supply chain. So we're looking at case studies with this. We are also going to welcome spaces, which are these community spaces that were set up during the energy price crisis, particularly in 2022. And a lot of them have since then they've been going on, and they are sharing advice on energy as part of some of their other activities. So they really provide some really good spaces for people to come and actually learn about energy transitions, learn about energy advice, but also actually go to a space where there is a trusted person that can help you with that. And a lot of these initiatives take time and effort. And we, for example, interviewed one particular place where somebody was going to a welcome space, and it took them a year to actually, they have the courage to say that they needed help with their energy bill, for example, or that their home was not in a good condition. So all of this takes time, and it takes building relationships. And a lot of these initiatives are a lot more about than just energy. So we need to think about beyond heat pumps and electric vehicles, because not everybody can have an electric vehicle. Not everybody drives. Not everybody is thinking about, is there space for a heat pump if they live in a flat, for example. So our kind of initial findings from these particular case studies are showing that there are many people who are not taking part in the energy transition for various reasons. They want to take part, but they cannot take part yet. And there are a lot of programs, and it's a real myriad of different grant schemes, even for the sort of organizations that are helping people. And it seems like there's a lot of help for people who might be on a low income, and then there are lots of programs or maybe not programs needed for people who just have the, you know, the financial capital to do the measures. So there is a lot of people in the middle that don't actually have any grant programs available for them, but they also don't have the financial capital available for them. So it's the kind of missing middle that we need to really address and get those people on board. And there is a kind of still a little bit of a disconnect between the complex government policy and the really positive local action that we are seeing in our case studies. And we do think that, you know, while these spaces can provide really trusted action, they do require lots of time and resource and specific skills, and particularly people skills, in addition to the technical knowledge that you need on some of the very complex building aspects. So this is my almost last slide. So I'm just going to highlight again that we really need to recognize the different starting points that people have for creating low energy homes. We need to be aware of, you know, who can take action. The trusted social relationships are a really key part when people consider changes in their homes. And having a change in the home can be very, very disruptive, like what was mentioned previously by previous speakers. So we need to think about who's the best to facilitate those sort of relationships and those kind of perhaps maybe sometimes difficult situations as well. And we also need to remember that this is a collective effort. So we need to do this across society, and it really needs clear government leadership. And that's something that we are seeing from our research as well, that people want to take action, but they actually want to be also, they want very clear messages of what they need to do and to make sure that other people are doing this as well. And just to finalize, you all know that we need to act because of climate change. And we do think that there is a huge potential in improving our homes with multiple benefits on jobs and skills, careers, particularly future careers for, you know, young children who are now thinking about what shall I do in a few years' time when I go to secondary school, for example, or doing my GCSEs or A-levels, where do I want to go to university, or what do I want to go to more into a practical career, that, you know, there's huge amount of opportunities across all different career stages in this. It's about lower bills, better comfort. And finally, we are already seeing an energy transition, but it's really important to recognize that not everybody is taking part yet, and not everybody is able to take part. And it's really important that we change that and we make sure that everybody is actually taking part in the collective effort that we need towards low carbon homes. So thank you. I'll leave it at that.